All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So if you need anything, just holler.
All right. So, my name's Philip Steary. Some of you know me, some of you don't. So, the title I was given this morning is Dare to be a Daniel. So, we want to take a little look at that. And when you think of the word dare, normally when somebody dares you to do something, a dare normally has a serious consequence to it, to where it could be a little dangerous or whatever. I'm sure we've all been dared to do something before. I've been dared to do things, and you really have to stop and think about it. Am I going to do this? It's dangerous. But when we think of Daniel, the situations that he was put in, these are things that would cost his life. So what we want to look at today is the topic of dare to be a Daniel and dare to do things even though it might cost your life. So before we begin, let's pause and have a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather here and to look at your word. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me, Lord, as I speak, and help me so I can speak clearly and have clear thoughts. Lord, I pray for the ones that are listening, Lord, that you'll allow them to understand, even though maybe I don't say things quite right. So, Lord, just help us as we go through this day. Just help us be blessed and pray, Lord, you be with the other teachers that are teaching. Just give them wisdom. I just want to commit this in your hands. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a little bit on Daniel. I would say we all know the story of Daniel, how he was taken captive. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon conquered a city that had a bunch of Israelites in it, and they won, and they took a lot of the young people as captives. And this Nebuchadnezzar guy, he wasn't just the average guy. Everybody knew him. The Bible says that in Daniel 5, it says that all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. He was somebody that people feared. And so he was taken captive by him and taken back to the city of Babylon. Babylon was not, it was not a good city. It was an ungodly, heathen city. So Daniel was put in a place where, in order to be a godly person, it's really going to test your faith. So there is a verse in Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 is what I want, and it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we think of being conformed to this world is like a huge press that it's pressing in from all sides, and I'm sure we felt the pressure before. Not a literal press, but like the world says, do things like this in order to be in the in crowd. You have to do things like this, like conform to this way of doing it. You have to have a big fancy sports car or whatever. The list can go on and on. The world is a big giant mold that's trying to conform us. But the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. And in order to not be conformed, you need to have a reason. You need to have a purpose. Like, why not? Why not do what the world says? Why not join in the drinking parties? Why not? We need to have a purpose. So what is our purpose? Daniel had a purpose. Daniel was taken captive into this heathen place. They didn't care about God. Whatever was pleasing to their flesh, they did whatever. But Daniel would not conform because he had a purpose. So that's kind of what we want to look at today. What was Daniel's purpose? And what is our purpose? If the world says you need to be like this to be cool, what is our purpose for not being like that? What is our purpose for not following after what the world is trying to fit us into? So Daniel was, they selected the king Nebuchadnezzar said he wants to select several of them to put them on a certain diet to I don't know, fatten them up, make them nice and healthy. And so they gave Daniel and his friends the diet, and he refused to do it because the meat and stuff, they would offer this stuff to idols. And from where Daniel was from, he had godly values, and they refused to eat meat and drink wine and stuff that was offered to idols. So he said he's not going to do it. Feed us this other thing. And the guy that was giving him this diet, he's like, he was afraid. He told Daniel that he was afraid he's going to lose his head over the deal. Like, literally, if you guys don't do what the king said, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my head. But Daniel said, just try it. And we all know the story. It turns out they ended up looking way healthier than the rest of them. But he had a purpose. He would not eat meat that was offered to idols. Now, I'm going to give you a fair warning. I'm not a long-winded person, so I might be done before I know it. Some people can sit there and talk and talk and talk, and I wish I could do that more. But if it's not on my paper, I'm like, my mind starts spinning. Like, what should I say next? Anyway, we're not done yet, though. Don't get too excited. Okay, so what are some ways that we can live with a purpose? And I wrote down a list of things. Obedience to those in authority. Now, obviously Daniel was going against authority, but this was some ungodly. Daniel had a higher authority over him. Now we need to be obedient to the laws of land as much as we can, but if there's something that tells us to directly do something against God's word, then we need to default to the higher authority. So, obedience to those in authority. First of all, God, parents, church leaders. There again, the world, with its big old mold pressing in, is saying, you can do whatever you want. You don't need to listen to anybody. But God's word says that we all have authority over, like everybody has authority over them. It doesn't matter how ungodly the person is. They have to answer to somebody. So there is no such thing as be your own person and do whatever you want. So to purpose in our heart that everyone has authority over them. So and to be brought under the authority that God has over you, like your parents, your church leaders. And another one is who we hang out with. Now, it's not wrong to be friends with everyone that you meet. But if those friends soon start trying to get you to do this or that, and something in your head says, something's not sitting quite right, it's probably best to purpose in your heart and say, you know what? I'm still friendly when I meet them or whatever, but I'm not going to purposely seek them out and to hang out with them. Because the Bible plainly says that evil communications corrupt good manners. Those bad habits normally rub off on the good people. Another one is what we look at. Our eyes love to see things. But there are some things that are not meant for our eyes to see. And to be able to purpose in our heart that, okay, you can't help to see something. We all see things, but then to purposely you want to see it again. To purpose in our heart that, you know what, that's a line. We have to look the other way. What we listen to. There again, our ears love hearing things. There are things that go in our head and it affects our emotions. There are things that affect us in a good way. And there's sounds that can affect us in a bad way. Music literally can move your emotions to do things that you wouldn't normally do. The words that we say, purpose in our heart that there are certain words that we're not going to, and we catch ourselves all the time, like just simple things like saying, oh my goodness, I catch myself saying that. But they're basically a polite way of saying, oh my God. There's a lot of polite ways of saying things that we normally wouldn't say because it's too black and white. So to have a purpose in our heart, to watch our words, and the thoughts that we think on, the thoughts that we dwell on, we can't help thinking things. Not one of us can help when there's a thought pops in our head. I mean, I don't think there's anybody. I can't. But to take that thought and say, you know what, that's an evil thought, throw it out. Or do we like the thought and we sit there and think about it and roll it over and over in our heads? And that's not hard to do. But the purpose in our heart that if it's not a good thought, the Bible says think on things that are pure, lovely, and the list, it has a whole list. The things that we consume, now you might think, well, what is that? Well, alcohol, smoking, those things are, it's a real thing. we might not think it's so prevalent where we're at right now, but it can happen. Daniel was, well, he didn't take the wine and the meat for a different reason, but it's similar to that. And there again, that can be with certain friends that you hang out with. Maybe there will come a time when they're like, hey, try this. And you have to have a purpose. We'll get to what the purpose is toward the end of my message here, but we need a purpose in our heart to say, you know what, that's the line, I'm not going to cross it. And we need a purpose in our heart who we serve. The Bible says we can't serve God and mammon, which mammon is things. It feels good to have a lot of things and a lot of money. Those things are actually a counterfeit to God. It's a substitute. Money can make you feel like you have security, safety. There's a real danger of, the Bible says if we become wealthy, to be careful so we don't set our heart on it. Because it's a false god. It can replace, it feels like it replaces God. And you now have security and freedom. It gives you freedom. Now you can travel where you want, spend as much as you want. It's not wrong to be rich, but to not serve the purpose in our heart who we're going to serve. Now, I'm not saying all these things because I have them all figured out. As far as I know, I'm still a human that deals with me. And I have to deal with these things every day. This isn't just for the youth. This is for anybody. Now, Daniel wasn't afraid of being different. He didn't care what people thought of him. I have a few stories about me growing up, and I don't, you guys are probably going to look at me like, what in the world was his problem? But anyway, when I was a little boy, this is just the power of influence, the power of the friends around you, or the power of the world pressing in to say, you got to do this. Me and my cousins, you know, we had lots of fun growing up, which anybody that has cousins knows how fun that is. You go to your grandpa's place and you travel, you go all over the property just looking what kind of mischief you can get into. Anyway, my grandpa Iker, he had some old BB guns, and we'd like to get them out every once in a while, us cousins. We'd get these BB guns out, and we'd go out and just see what we can shoot up. And this is going to sound unbelievable, okay? It's shame on me for joining in. But anyway, one of the cousins, he really liked war games and stuff like that. So there's lots of things going on in his head, obviously. So we were hanging out by the grandpa's barn, and he takes a BB gun, points it at a window, pow, glass shatters. We're like, ooh. Pretty soon we're walking around the barn, he pecks at another window. And the next thing you know, here, you want to try it? So a couple of us like, okay. You know, fit in, you know. You don't want to be stupid. I think it was one of my brothers. He shot a window out. And then it was my turn. You don't want to be the oddball. What do? Okay. There goes another one. By the time the night was over, every one of Grandpa's windows in his barn were ruined. Stupid. I know. But that is the pressure of the world around you saying, here, in order to fit in order to be cool, you got to do this. You're either going to stand up, say, look, I'm not doing it, and look stupid to everybody, or just fit in. What would have you guys done? Probably ran in and told your dad. Not me. Don't ever shoot your grandpa's barn windows out. That's not smart. I look back and I'm like, why? Why? It's the power of influence, the power of who you hang out with. But this Daniel, he didn't care what people thought. He had a purpose. And there was another time. I don't say this to bring any glory to me at all. I've folded to pressure way more times than I can count. But there was one time when we grew up, our parents always told us that stay away from alcohol. It's bad. Because the community that we grew up in, the youth, when they turned 16, and that's where they went, parties and alcohol, and it becomes a big part of their life, and it can ruin lives. So that was something that was ingrained in our head as we grew up. And this was another time where I was with my cousins, and we'd have these big family get-togethers, and the older ones, they like to have this, what they call a beer shed or whatever, a party shed. And you think it always was just the older ones that tried to sneak in there? Of course not. It's always the ones that, see, 16 was the age. After you're 16, do what you want. But the younger ones, they weren't at that age yet, but you want to try to sneak in there and just see what you can get away with. Well, one time me and my cousins snuck in there. I followed them in. You know, I had no desire to go in there because of what I was taught. But anyway, we get in there, and next thing you knew it, they crack a few open, and offering you a drink, and me and my brothers were like, no, we don't drink. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, we just drink lemonade? Or another time they said something about, you don't drink, you just swallow or what? Just, it didn't feel good. You know, being mocked for standing up what you knew was right. I don't say that to bring any glory to me. There's plenty of times where I folded under the pressure of the world around me. But I never look back and regret and say, man, why didn't I just take a drink? I probably look stupid. No regrets. So anyway, I ended up walking out. And yeah, you feel bad, but at the same time, you feel good. So there's a little bit about me, a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. So there you have it. And Daniel, he was also very humble. And he would give God the glory. It wasn't about him. When the king had a dream, and he's asked, you know, looking for people to interpret this dream, nobody could do it. And so the king's like, fine, he's angry. Nobody can interpret my dream. Like, it's an impossible thing to ask. Not even just to interpret it. I forgot my dream. Wake up one morning and say, I forgot my dream. Tell me what I dreamed last night. That's an impossible thing to ask. And nobody could do it. So he's like, we're just going to kill them all. As if that would fix anything. So Daniel heard about that. And they were going to kill Daniel and his friends too, because they were part of the wise men. So Daniel said, you know what? I'll interpret this dream for him. So he asked his friends to pray for him, intercede for him, that God would reveal this thing, and so that they could save their lives. So anyway, God revealed it to him, and he went to the king, and he told the king that there is no man. The dream that the king had, there is no one. No wise men, no astrologers, the magicians, nobody. It's impossible for anybody even to reveal this. He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Now, he could have at that time said, nobody can do this, but I figured it out. But no, he gave the glory to God. There's a God in heaven. And it's so easy for us. If I do something good, I mean, it can be something physical, something, I built something nice or whatever, and somebody compliments you on it, and you just, yeah, I'm pretty good. But it's God that gives us strength. It's God that gives us wisdom. At the end of the day, it's only by God that we can do anything. It's only by God that we can breathe. So to be able to give God, to purpose in our heart to give God the glory for whatever we accomplish. And Daniel's three friends, we all know the story. This isn't about Daniel, but these were his friends, and I believe they all believe the same. I think I'll just read the chapter. What time am I supposed to quit? Does anybody know? Sorry, I don't either. I think they'll give me a warning. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read this whole chapter, so bear with me as I, maybe not quite the whole chapter. Yeah, I'll read the whole chapter. Bear with me as I stumble through it. I'm not a very eloquent reader, so. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Basically made a huge idol that he wanted people to bow down to. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." So the rules were simple. You hear the music, you bow down and worship this huge idol. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay, there you have the consequence. If you don't fall down, the rules are simple again. We're going to chuck you into the furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of all the instruments, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet of all the instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." There are these three rebellious Hebrews that they don't serve your gods, and they're refusing to bow down. Maybe they didn't hear. Like when everybody else fell down and bowed to this thing, maybe they're standing there like, "What's going on?" No, that wasn't the case. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear..." He's going to give them another chance. Like, seriously, guys, I'm going to give you another chance here. The world's pressing in and saying, "Look, you got to do this." But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So there he challenges God. He challenges their God. And he's like, "What kind of God do you serve that's going to deliver you out of my hands?" And I like their answer. Their answer to the king said, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So they knew that if they didn't bow, the king was going to throw them in there and said, if he wants to, he can deliver us out. But if he doesn't, oh well, we're still not going to serve we're not going to bow down to your king, to your idol. They had a purpose in their heart that it didn't matter if their life was threatened, they weren't going to do it. Anyway, so he tried it again, started up the music, everybody falls down on their face, and there they stand. The three Hebrew children just sticking out like sore thumbs. So they threw him in the furnace. And we know the outcome of that. Basically, God chose not to let any harm come to them. And while they were standing there watching them burn, all of a sudden the king, he saw the fourth person in there, and he's like, "What is going on? It looks like the Son of Man," he said. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." And then the king made a decree, the very opposite. The very opposite of what he was telling everybody to bow down to this idol. But then he saw what happened, and he made a decree that I'll just read it here. "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." So he made a complete switch. He was telling everybody to bow to this idol. If you don't, you're going to be burned up. And there are three of them that stood up for what was right. And he saw what happened. God delivered them. And so he said, if anybody speaks against their God, those people are going to be cut up. So it was a dramatic testimony to the heathens. So, do we have a purpose in our heart for when the world says, bow down to this way of thinking, bow down to this way of doing things? To have a purpose in our heart to say, you know what, I'm going to stand because God says, or because the Bible says this way or that way. I will not bow down, even though it could cost my life. And another thing about Daniel, he purposed in his heart to pray consistently. In Daniel chapter 6, people hated Daniel. The people in the people in authority, they hated Daniel. Daniel was also in a place of authority, but they hated him because every day. They'd see him go to his house three times a day and bow his head for prayer, and they couldn't stand it. So they tricked the king into making a decree that, hey, if anybody I have to look at that, what the decree was. Don't have it right off the top of my head. Daniel 6. Oh, it was for 30 days. Just 30 days. That everyone was supposed to, if they had anything to ask or whatever, they had to ask. They had to ask the king. They weren't allowed to pray to their gods or whatever. So just 30 days, everyone was supposed to, if they had any prayer or whatever, they're supposed to go to the king and say, "Oh, king, can whatever, this or that." But they knew Daniel wasn't going to follow that. And this was their plan to get him out of the picture. Whoever asked their God for anything other than the king in those 30 days was going to be cast into the den of lions. So, verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, okay, it wasn't like he was ignorant of it. He knew what they signed, and he knew what it said, and he knew what it was about, and he knew his life was in danger if he didn't do what it said. It says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It didn't affect him at all. It didn't matter if the world says, look, you can't pray to your God, you got to do it like this or you're going to be killed. It didn't matter. He had a purpose in his heart that even though it could cost his life, he's going to faithfully pray to his God. Doesn't matter if people see him, he's going to do it. And we know how that turned out as well. He kept on praying, and the king had nothing to do but throw him in the lion's den. And God spared him through that. And there again, this was a different king from Nebuchadnezzar, but he did the same thing. He completely flipped. And he said, if people now need to serve Daniel's God. So what is this purpose? What is a purpose? Why would we not conform to what the world wants us to do? The Bible has a real good answer for that. If we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's bring it all together. This is the conclusion. This is the only thing that matters. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God and keep his commandments. For what? Why? It says, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the only thing that's important for man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. But why? Verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That is the purpose that we need to live by. We are going to answer to God someday. We're not going to answer to an earthly king. If he threatens us, you need to bow down to my idol or you're going to be killed. Ultimately, we're not going to answer to him. We're going to answer to God. That is our purpose. That is why when the world says do things this way, that is the purpose in our heart that says, you know what? God says don't do it like that. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, fear not them which kill the body. Now, that's something that nobody wants to face, is like, okay, you're going to be killed. Daniel and his friends didn't fear them. Daniel didn't fear those that could kill the body. He had a purpose. It says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. All they can touch is the physical part. Man cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That is the purpose that we need to have. We're going to answer to God. We're not going to answer to our friends. We're not going to answer to the governor. We're not going to answer to the president if they're telling us to do something against God. We're not going to answer. We're going to ultimately answer to God. And that is the purpose that we have to have in our heart to live by. And there's a lot of things in my life that if I would have had that purpose settled in my life, there's a lot of choices that I wouldn't have made. A lot of roads I wouldn't have went down. So I guess that's basically the end of my little message here. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to live with a purpose. No compromise. It's no watering it down like, well, it's just for 30 days. I'll just close my doors and windows so nobody sees me praying for 30 days. Everything will just go away. God still sees. If it's the right thing to do, by God's grace, we need to do it no matter what the consequence, no matter if it could cost our life. So that's all I have to share. Maybe one of you guys has something to say about one of your life experiences. Did anybody shoot their grandpa's barn windows out? Or I hear crickets. If you guys are like me, and somebody asks the crowd to volunteer to share something, they're probably just going to sit there quiet. I'm not the type of person that will just speak up in a crowd. So I understand if you're afraid to say something. But maybe somebody has an experience with feeling the pressure of the world trying to get you to conform in a certain way, and maybe you have a short testimony of victory over that or something.